Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning. How are we doing? Okay, how are we doing again? How are we doing? Awesome, awesome. Hey, we got live stream in the house. What's up, guys? Glad you're joining us. And then we got Metro. Can we give it up for Metro? What is up? What is up, Metro? So glad you guys are joining us. By the way, those of you who serve at Metro, man, thanks for pioneering that campus. So proud of you. And we're coming up to the anniversary of Metro, so we're excited about that. Glad you're in the room. This is, yes, everybody's excited. We're starting a brand new series called Letters from John. It's a good day. It's a good day. It's going to rain all day in Charlotte. We're excited about that. Anyways, no. Hey, I'm glad to be back. We missed you guys last week. And so if you're a guest here, so glad you're joining us this morning because we are starting a brand new series. It's always fun to kick off with us. So keep joining us. It's a three-week series. And so we usually do kind of a conversation about a topic, but this time we're going straight up Bible. Straight up Bible, right? Some of you guys are like, thank you, Jesus. Yes. Yes, calm down. We are doing letters from John, the epistles of John. Yeah, say that twice. Sounds weird. But we are doing those. It's called the letters of John, 1 John, 2nd, and 3rd. And so we're going to cover those in 3 weeks, kicking off this morning with the first two chapters. And man, it's really a great conversation. I think it's really good because because Lent, I don't know if you guys know what Lent is. Anybody know what Lent is? Yes, yes, yes. Not to be mistaken with Lint. Lint is on things, but Lent, friends, is it's really important. And this season, we want to do something different. So, and we want to prepare our hearts for what it means, and because it is to prepare ourselves for Easter. And so, if you didn't grow up in the Christian faith, if you don't know what it is, it's 40 days to kind of set our hearts and our souls to celebrate what Easter is all about. And so, as a church, what we're doing is we're asking you guys to starting on Wednesday, for you to join us in prayer. So at noon every day, we're going to be praying as a community. So if you're online, regardless where you are, Metro, just join us 12 o'clock noon. We're always going to be praying. We'll give you a prayer guide in terms of what to pray for, and you can pray for whatever you want to. You can just do you. Boo. But anyways, some tools for that. But also on Wednesdays from 7 to 7, the Hope Center will be open, and we'll have worship music playing here. So if you're out of the state, sorry, but we'll have worship music playing here, and it's just open sanctuary to come and pray, and there'll be people here. So 7 to 7, it'll be open as well. So it's really a cool season that we're kicking off, and we're looking forward to Easter. So let's jump in. If you got your Bibles, grab those. If you got a phone, grab those. You can jump in. We're going to be talking about 1 John, 1st and 2nd chapter. I'll go through some other verses as well in Romans and in Hebrews, but we're going to kick off this conversation about what is John, the writings of John, all about. But let's start off with this. How many of you can relate to this? How many of you would say that there are people in your life that you are nervous when you're around them? Anybody? Like, make you just nervous? It's not that they're bad people. They just make you nervous. They're like larger than life. You know, they might be your boss. It might be a coworker. It might be related. You might be related to this person. They just make you nervous, right? And you become something else when you're nervous. It's just true. It's true. So I was recently in Arizona beginning of this week. I think I've been all over the place, but I was in Arizona, and I was speaking at an event called FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Anybody heard of it? Yes, right? And so the president of the organization heard me speak somewhere, found my number, texted me. He said, hey, we have this weekend retreat. We're bringing people, donors, people who contributed to FCA over the years, trustees, you know, and we were doing like 2 weeks, I mean, sorry, 2 days of pouring into them, which means they're going to provide great worship, artists that are going to come, and we have 3 major speakers, and so we would love for you to kick off the weekend, because we believe that if you would set the tone for the entire weekend. That is not what I thought, right? Woo is not what that was not my first. That was my second thought. The first was like, okay. Now, I have a connection with FCA because they're part of my journey, part of my story. And that's why they want me to come. But there was a nervousness to that. And when I got there and started hanging out with or having dinner with some of these people, that's when I started getting nervous. Because I don't know if you know this or you can feel this. Maybe you can relate. But aren't there some people that they don't have to tell you they're rich? You just know. Is that true? That's a different level of rich, right? They don't have to say anything. You're like, something. I don't know what it is. Cologne, I'm not quite sure. I don't know what it is, but you don't even have to say the word. There's some people who pretend to be rich, right? You're like, yo, you're just in debt. But there are other people, you just know, man, this person's loaded, you know? And so I'm sitting next to this person, and I asked him the dumbest question, what do you do? I was like, don't even. And he was so humble about it, and he pretty much has more money than God, apparently. And But I kind of figured that out. And then I was already nervous about that. But then when I was about to go up and speak, I had this moment of freak out, right? I had this moment of like, Naeem, what are you doing? What are you doing? Because, I mean, oh, no, you don't look anything like them. This is FCA, Fellowship. You don't even know what that means, okay? Fellowship of Christian. You're barely a Christian. And then you are no athlete. What are you doing? And so, and then I get so self-aware. I'm like, oh no, I have short sleeves on. I'm like, oh no, man, I have a man bun. I look nothing like them. I have a tattoo. I'm no athlete, and I have more jewelry on than my wife. And so I'm like, what am I doing? And they're like coaches and NFL players. Then I'm like, oh man, this is not going to be good, you know? And then I had this moment of, I'm just going to pretend like I am an athlete. I'm just going to pretend. Have you ever felt that? Like, you get so nervous, you have to pretend. You're like, I'm like, be more manly. Like, I'm like, I don't know what happened. I think it's so funny because when it comes to, like, religion and Christianity, I don't know if you can relate, Metro, but, like, I think there's a pressure to there's a pressure to act like more than you are when you're in spirituality. Like, I mean, it's just true. I mean, I think a lot of us can relate. I mean, if you're online, you're just checking us out, you understand that too. Regardless of where your faith is, when it comes to spirituality, regardless of the religion you were brought up in or grew up in, there's a pressure to be someone else when you feel like you're nervous and you feel like you're not enough. And so John, when he starts talking about this, John is a guy that he begins talking about the Christian life, and it's really profound. He talks about this idea of what the gospel really is. And if you ever heard of what, or have you heard the term gospel? I mean, some of you might know it's called good news, but what really is the gospel? I mean, I had a person ask me, like, hey, really quick, what's the difference between religion and the gospel? Now, when he asked this question, it was in front of thousands of people, and he was like, hey, really quick, tell me. Really quick, tell you. And I started talking, had no sense what I was talking about, because it's hard. And this, these letters explain to us what it means to have a relationship with God. What does it mean to live the gospel or to be a Christian? And it comes full circle in a sense. It comes with this price. And the price is we have to understand that there is a pressure to pretend, and we should resist that pressure. So in that context, we jump into this passage. Let me read you the first couple of verses here. This is 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. And here's what he writes. He says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. Let's stop right there. This is John. John is the dude who nicknamed himself. Anybody remember? The disciple that Jesus loved the most. I mean, he just, AKA, he loves me better. Like, really? this is also the guy that Jesus on the cross said, hey, John, this is your mother. Mother, this is your son. Like, he transferred responsibility to John. John is a guy who didn't hear about Jesus. This is not a guy who, this is a guy who walked with Jesus. And so when he writes this, he goes, I have heard this from him, and I declare to you, I didn't like come forward, have a moment, get a dream. No, I walked with this guy. I knew him as Jesus, and I knew him as Christ, the human and the divine side. And I'm declaring to you, and here's it. Here's the deal. Here's what I want you to understand. God is light. Now, he could have said anything, but he goes on and he says, God is light. And then he says this, in him, there's no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. He just threw in other people. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Now, so much in this, right? So much in this. What is he saying? He's saying a lot of things, but for us to understand, fundamentally, he's saying this. If you want to understand what the gospel is, if you want to understand what this life of Jesus is all about, it's about understanding that the first step is believing and coming to terms, coming out of darkness. Stop pretending. I know there's pressure, but you have to be comfortable in living in light. And so many of us, if you came from a Muslim background, I know I did, I don't know who's watching, but if you came from a Buddhist background or a Hindu background or a Christian background, regardless of what religion you grew up in, there is always a pressure to live in the shadows. Because guess what? Everything looks and everybody looks better in low light. That's why clubs have very low light. When they want you to leave, what do they do? Yeah, and then you're like, oh my gosh, you look like that? Yes, you've been talking to that the entire night. Like, right, yes. I mean, we do this. Why do you think we turn down the lights? No. Just joking, Metro, you are beautiful. Anyways, no, we're just joking. But the reality is, it's so easy to kind of hide and show only the good parts of who you are in the dark. And religion, if you don't understand the difference, it is a pressure to just live in the shadows and walk out and just show yourself in the best light. And that's always not enough light. And John says, hey, first of all, I want you to understand God is light. And in him, there is no darkness. And what that means is, it's not like God is light and he's exposing you. It's not like he's going to bust you. Like he's, you know, an officer or something. He's not policing you. No, God wants to cover you with his light. He wants to illuminate your life. He wants you to understand that he sees everything that you are, and he covers you. And you have to be comfortable with light. And we don't like it. We don't like it. I mean, I had a moment of a serious, I mean, not just nervousness, but a serious, I don't know if it was a panic attack, I don't know what it was, but it was serious. I was speaking at a chapel, and there were a lot of students. It was in the morning, I mean, and they didn't have any cool lights or anything like that. I mean, it was a chapel service. Thousands of students, college students, and you're always nervous with college students. I don't even know why. You know, like, you want to be cool, but you're not. You know, anyway. So they were wrapping up a song. Then the guy was going to introduce me, and I was going to go up there and talk. And so there's a bathroom right there, and I went to the bathroom just to get my head in the game, you know, because I have to do that. Like a pregame thing, I do that. I'm like, you're awesome. You can do this. No, I don't do that. I don't do that. But I do something. I'm like, okay, Jesus, come on. Yes, all right. So I'm doing all of that. I can hear them about to introduce me. And I'm wrapping up. And I get done washing my hands. And I look down. Friends, the sink was wet. I look down my area. I'm just going to say that, is so wet. And I'm not wearing black jeans, friends. It is wet, wet. It is like a totally different shade. I was like, oh God, no, no. I just kept on saying, no, no. Like it was going to dry up all of a sudden. I was like, oh no, 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 no. and he is wrapping up. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I was like, and I started blaming God. I was like, why would you do that? Why would you do this? Why would you do this? So I'm like, you know, and so I go in there and I'm about to turn around and face everybody. And it's all light everywhere. So much light. And I was like, oh. And I had a moment. I was like, what am I going to do? And then I'm like, you know what? You're just going to face it. I'm like, am I going to talk about it? Because it's apparent, people. It's apparent. It's apparent. I'm like, you know what, Naeem? You're not going to say anything. You're just going to muscle through this. You're just going to pretend it's not an issue. You're just going to do it. And so I got up there, introduced me. I'm like, okay, guys, good morning. How are we doing? This is awesome. And I just turned around, and I was like, I'm just going for it. And the first couple of rows, they were all like, so embarrassing. And I think I was running around at one point. I was like, anything to just kind of like distract them. It was so terrible. I think it's so funny because I think we do some ridiculous things spiritually even to avoid looking foolish. We do just dumb things spiritually even. We pretend to be people we're not. And fundamentally, the gospel is, hey, God is light. He sees everything. And you got to come to terms with that. Like, he sees everything you are. And he has come. He has made a way. It's God pursuing you. So fundamentally, John is saying, the difference is that religion will say, you pursue God. And you have to basically look a certain way, act a certain way, be presentable, either mentally, spiritually, emotionally, ethically, and then you become enlightened, or then you become you become a member of a religious family, or you become a certain kind of person. You have to become something, like you have to pursue, and you have to get there, and then you finally get there. And the gospel is different. God is light. And light means he has come to us. And in him there is no darkness. Which means the fundamental difference is that you don't pursue God, God pursues you. You don't get to him, he gets to you. And so we have to come in terms with the fact that we will never attain. We have been adopted. Like, he sees everything about who you are, all the embarrassment, all the stuff. And you and I have to learn to live in that tension. And so John says, hey, let me just tell you, this is what you need to understand. When you begin to live an authentic, real life, you don't just have a relationship with God. You have more of a relationship with each other. Like, you know, right? We identify with people's weaknesses more than their successes. Am I right? We just do. Because we relate. We relate. And John's saying there's so much truth in that. And the truth is that there is a sacrifice. There is something that God has done because he sees everything that we are. And so if there were points that I was making today, and there are some, this message is not pointless, but the first one would be this, that God's light brings our limitation to light. We are limited. We are not perfect. We are not consistent. We leak. We cannot keep our commitments all the way through. We're just not that good. We're just not. And Romans 5 says this. It says, you see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, God died for us. I don't know about you, but I don't like being called a sinner. Now, I mean, if you grew up in the Christian faith, and you maybe grew up in the South, maybe grew up in a denomination, you're comfortable with that. Because some would say you're a sinner saved by grace. We know that, right? We understand that. But I came from a different background. So I'm like, I'm more of a saint that sometimes sins. I'm a saint that has a bad day here and there, right? And then here, John is saying, hey, I kind of lived with Jesus and walked with Jesus. I'm just going to tell you, I'm not that good. Now, there is inherent goodness in me because I'm made in the image of God. But there is something about me that is just not, that's not all good. It really isn't. Hebrews says it a different way, the writer here. He says this, Hebrews 4, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. And he is the one whom we are accountable. So then, since we have a great high priest who has entered heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we believe. What do we believe? We believe this, that this high priest of ours understands our weaknesses. For he faced all the same testings we do, yet he did not sin. And then verse 16, So, because we know this, he's saying, so let us go, what? Or let us come boldly to the what? Throne of our gracious God. I mean, that's just that imagery. Like, confidently, boldly go to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive mercy and we will find grace to help us when we need it the most. I mean, there's so much depth to this, this understanding of that you can be, you can know your ugliness. You can know who you are and what you are not. You can see all the embarrassing parts of you, but yet you can be bold and stand up straight and walk into a throne of a gracious God. What does that even mean? What does it look like? So let me explain this to you a little bit, okay? So if you're taking notes, you'll love this. If you're not, I'll post this later on social media. Let me talk to you about like these stages of growth that explains some of our spiritual walk. Okay, a lot of writers talk about this. Actually, John of the Cross, he's a mystic, a Catholic reformer priest guy. He wrote a lot about this as well. And some there are other writers as well have talked about this. But the stages of spiritual growth are this. Maybe you can identify with some. They talk about these. They talk about nine. I'm going to go through about six today. Okay, the first one is this idea that my body is who I am. Like my spirituality is connected to my body. So my body, male, female, and how I feel, my body is who I am. So my spirituality is connected to what my body experiences, like pleasure and security. Like for example, how many of you know that some of us would, you know, our spirituality is connected to the weather? Right? It's how our bodies feel. It's just true. Okay? He's talking about it. This is the first level. It basically says, I am who my body, like my body is who I am. My body is who I am. Second stage is a little different. My actions is who I am. My actions are who I am. And some of us have gotten there or are there. And what that means is this. It's like what I do and don't do determines my spirituality. And so I have to be on the right side of doing things. Like I can do evil or good. It's black and white. It's binary. There are winners, there are losers. It's all action-based. And so we live our lives like that. Like, I mean, some of us, our spirituality is connected to this idea of actions. It's all about that. Parenting is all about that. Talking to students and junior high school students and teenagers, all that, you talk about, it's all about the actions. The problem with that is it's always black and white. There's always winners and there's always losers. And so if you find yourself even spiritually having a hard time with criticism, right? You get just fed up and you just get all riled up or offended. Why? Because there's only black and white to you. There's only a winner or a loser and you just lost. And so you have that stage. But it's not just, there's more to that. Your spirituality has to evolve even more. It's not about who you are as your body. It's not your actions. Third stage is this. I am what my thoughts are. I am my thoughts. I'm not my actions. I'm my thoughts. So it's a little deeper. It's a sense of, you know what? I'm gonna start thinking through what I really believe. And so many of us at Mosaic, and maybe even you're watching, you're like, you know what? I want to check out this church and I want to check out these conversations because I want to start thinking for myself. And this is when you have an adult faith. Not childlike, you had adult faith. You know what? I'm going to believe what I believe. Let me just think about this a little bit. And so that's your spirituality phase. For some of us, we stop there. We go, you know what? It's not about actions. It's about thought. And so it's this idea of like, I've woken up to a bigger truth. I get this. I'm an individual. I don't have to be a part of a group. Because stage two is all about winners and losers. Here, you're like, oh, I can think. I have these thoughts. But you can't stop there. You can't stop there. Because it makes you very very much an individual. It's all about you and your purpose in life. And then we have books about that. And we have all kinds of things about that kind of spirituality. But stage four is a little different. Stage four, these guys talk about that you're more than just your thoughts. It's this. It's this, I am my felt knowledge within me. And you're like, what in hocus pocus is that? Right? Yeah, it's the level where you understand some people get to where they go, you know what, man? There's always a purpose in life. There's a deeper meaning to things. And so you kind of feel like these people are like those new age people. Right? You go, I mean, they were, but then there's a mystic part of them. And that's like it's not just black and white. It's not just my actions. It's not just my thoughts. I am comfortable with the gray. I'm comfortable with not totally understanding. You're more open to bigger and newer ideas here. And spiritually, I think some of us go in that direction. But that's just stage four, according to some of these guys. Stage five is a little different. It's moving past the deeper meanings. It's saying this, I'm not who I think I am. Ooh, what? John the Cross, he has this phrase called, it is luminous darkness. It's when the darkness with around you and about you gets illuminated. Another writer calls it shadow boxing. It's where you fight the temptation to live in the shadows and you move out of them. This is where a serious death really happens. You understand, you know what? I'm really not who I pretend to be. I'm really not who I think I am. And I'm going to face my ugliness. And for some of us, we do not get there. And I will tell you this. This is my opinion. I think so many people in the Christian faith, they don't know Jesus. They don't live in the light because they are so afraid to come out of the dark. Because at this level, you have to face the fact you're just not that smart and you're not that cool and you're not that spiritual. And man, you do some wacko things and you have thoughts that are so deeply evil, right? And who wants to face those? You're like, I don't even wanna. But this is the stage where God's light comes to you and goes, hey, you know, right? You know you're not. You know, right? Man, I've met so many people who live their entire lives spiritually, never getting here. They're in black and white, winners and losers. Or they're another stage of like, enlightenment and all that. But they're never faced this reality. And then it's not even stage five where you need to stop. Stage six, hello, right? Stage six is this. I can't become who I want to be. Now that's a whole different level. Whole different level. And John, when you read the depths of his teachings, he's there. He gets there. All the people who wrote in the New Testament, they get there. They go, remember Paul? He was like, dude, I don't know what I'm doing. I want to do this, but I don't do that. What's wrong with me? Like, there's always a sense of, hey, I got to a point. I get to level six, in a sense. And that's when you go, spiritually, it's not about growing up. It's about growing down, which means you don't climb up a spiritual mountain. You rappel down to the depths of your soul and you find out what's really in there. And you get to the point where you go, I can't. I can't do this. Everything that I want to be created to be, I cannot do this on my own. How many of us would get there? And this is just level six. What's very interesting, it's some commentators say that this level is the first level of the 12-step program. In the 12-step program, they start with that. That is level one. I am helpless to change myself. You know what's sad? That's where Christianity should start. You're helpless. I can't. But yet we start with a very different view. This is a serious death. This is where you go, oh my goodness. This is where we understand God's light brings to us and exposes our limitation. But point two of this is also that God's light brings us an invitation. It does. It is his invitation comes to light. This invitation to live a life that is far beyond what we think it could be, far beyond what we are capable of doing, far beyond all the struggles. Because I know there are people who you walked into this environment, maybe you logged in, maybe you walked into Metro and you're like, man, you have no idea the thoughts that I'm going through, the wrestling that I'm going through. Let me just tell you, this Christian faith, this relationship with God is an invitation where God says, I know you can't. I see everything about you and I'm inviting you into a new life. In fact, 1 John, 3 John, 2 John, 3 John, I mean, especially 1 John, his writings are all about how God is eventually not just light, but he's also love and he's life. We'll get there. Now, we'll get there in week three. But this morning, I just want you to just rest in that. Hey, there's an invitation to a new kind of life. This is 1 John 2. It says this, for those who say they live in God should live their lives as Jesus did. Which is, again, convicting. And then, oh, really? That's great. Because I can barely get it together. And I'm supposed to live like Jesus did. That's a whole different kind of life. Which for some of us, you're like, man, I got debt issues and I'm not talking to my best friend and I don't even know what I'm going to do in school. And I want to live in God, but then you say I should live as Jesus lived. What does that even mean? Come on. There's so much pressure. And then John says, hey, let me give you a hint to what that means. He says this in 1 John 2, verse 9. He says, here's an example. If anyone claims I'm living in the light but hates his fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. He says there's something about the light of God. There's something about this relationship with God. When you allow God's light in, again, it covers you. It illuminates your life. It gives you life. It's like vitamin D for your body. It's like there's something that happens when God's ray of love and acceptance illuminates every part of you, that you begin to do things that you don't even think you're capable of doing. And it's an invitation to live a certain kind of life that I think a lot of us have never really lived. But that's the gospel. It's not good news that you're not going to go to hell, but they are. That is not it. It's so much more. It's about God pursuing you, loving you, wanting to use you, wanting to change you, and then helping you become the person you were meant to be. That is what it means to be in Christ. And when, you know, by the way, the phrase in Christ, it's more than being in Jesus. Jesus is just the human body of the Christ. Christ is the part of the Trinity, which again is a different sermon or different series. But it's the power, it's the God life that creates everything that lives inside of you. And so you have a lot more potential than you think you do. You know, there's so many things that happened this week. I was at a luncheon after a funeral for a Hindu family, Indian Hindu family. And I'd gone and seen this guy, and he had cancer, and it was pretty traumatic. And I didn't know him, but there are people here in Mosaic who bring Indian families and little kids to Mosaic, and they're just great people. And they invited me to come, and I came and prayed over him and just hugged his mom, a Hindu mom. And man, we just sobbed, and she was crying, and we couldn't even, she speaks a different kind of language, and it was one of those I did not speak, and but he spoke Hindi, and so I could talk to him, and we talked about Jesus, and he gave his life to Christ, and there's a lot of beautiful things that happened. But when I was at this luncheon, and he had passed away, I hugged his wife, and man, there was so much. Have you ever seen someone and they have lost everything? Like, you just, it was like, not lifeless, but it was just so, just it was so intense. And I remember leaving that, having a conversation with the couple who goes to Mosaic, and they were talking about how they moved, and they moved into Charlotte, and they ended up having all Indian neighbors, like all Hindu neighbors. And they are a mixed couple, and she has an Indian background, and as well a South Asian background. And just, they said, you know, I don't know what God did, but she put us in the middle of this to just be light to all of our neighbors. And so here I am at a luncheon, and they're Hindu neighbors, and I start talking to them. And I just had a reality. I just had a moment where I thought, you know what? This is what life in Jesus looks like. You couldn't figure it out. You couldn't manufacture it. You don't have to be spiritual enough. God just uses you because you say, I can't, but I'm willing. And he uses you to bring light to so many people. That's where we're moving towards. God is light. He's covered us with light, but then he's called us to be light. So this morning, I want to close, and I want to ask you, what do we need to do? What do you need to do? How do you need to move towards that? Let's stand together, and let's pray. God, we just thank you so much for this moment. We thank you for who you are and what you're about. I pray, God, that in this series that we would move courageously out of darkness and out of the shadows into your light, allowing us to be exposed to your beauty, to have this light of your presence illuminate and change us. God, I thank you for who you are and what you're going to do. And once again, Lord, God, today we just say this to you. We just recommit to you. We give you our lives. Jesus, I give you my life once again. I recommit once again. Jesus, I give you my life. You see me, you know me, and you love me. Thank you. In your name I pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.